If I'm reaching out to someone who's responsible for the servicing of my loan, I want an answer as soon as possible. And so for me, I put myself again in the borrower's shoes. If we can get an answer in 24 hours, why would we delay?
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We are your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us. Today's guest is Asia Edwards. As the Senior Director of Loan Servicing, Asia manages the loan servicing team, handling loan closings, disbursements, and payoffs. She serves on committees to support NFF's Strategic Innovation Fund and strategic planning process and brings a geographic focus to NFF's presence in the New Jersey community. Prior to joining NFF, Asia held loan servicing roles with Fortune 500 banks as well as smaller community banks, while also spending some time in local government services. Asia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Christina.
Of course. For today's topic, we are going to be focusing on customer centricity strategies. But before we get into that, can you tell me a little bit about how you found yourself in this role?
Oh, that's a long and meandering story. So I actually started in the finance industry with Bank of America as an in-house collections representative for the credit card portfolio where borrowers were like 1 to 30 days past due. So very early past due delinquency stage. And I was in the call center environment, started part-time. I was actually working full-time as a program coordinator with the ARC of Bergen and Passaic County. But then something shifted in me about this collections thing that I enjoyed so much that I decided to leave the ARC and join Bank of America full-time. So that's how I got started in the financial services industry. Through the course of my career, I've held positions that have always maintained some form of delinquency management, but with a heavier emphasis on loan operations. So that's kind of how I found myself in my current role. I started with NFF, which stands for which is an acronym for Nonprofit Finance Fund. We are a national CDFI, which is a community development financial institution. So kind of along the lines of a community bank, but with the responsibility or designation that the services and finances that we provide do go back into the local communities to develop them, whether it be, you know, social or economical. But started with them at probably the height of COVID in March of 2020 as a senior associate of loan administration, and then progressed to my role there and was just recently promoted to senior director actually this past November.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So that is a good overview of your career and why we're going to be talking about customer centricity today. You know, you started at a big bank, Bank of America, you know, speaking directly as a collections associate all the way to now where you're in this more very community-centered and customer-centric atmosphere. So can you talk me throughout your career the different kind of strategies that you've learned to apply and how you implement that in your role today?
So I would say that Bank of America was an excellent starting point for me, considering the tactics that we would use. I think that collections has a terrible reputation, and in some cases, rightfully so. You know, at some stages, there are experiences that, you know, the people on the other end of the phone or the under end of the letter have felt either harassed or embarrassed or whatever the case may be. But Bank of America's approach to collections was always customer centric. So my foray into collections has always been, this is how you do it, right? So that has always been in the back of my mind. And you get, what is the saying? You get more bees with honey. So it's always, you know, seemed to work for me. So Bank of America, we were always taught to build the relationship and the rapport before going for, you know, the past due amount. The era where I started, I guess the era, it was 2010s. And, you know, it was like right after the housing bubble burst and everyone was kind of going through their own internal economic, you know, stresses with regard to that, as well as job losses and the start of the Great Recession. So a lot was going on at the time. And we were told to approach each and every customer with that approach, you know, the customer coming first on each and every call. And so we would kind of get to the background of why they found themselves in a situation and then try to find something that either sparked an idea in the conversation as to what would be a much better approach to how to get them current. So, for instance, one of my most memorable calls at the time was a man who had never been past due. He took great pride in his credit score and his credit history and brought himself to tears basically on the phone with me because he was embarrassed that he was getting this phone call to start with. And so he had explained that he had lost his job, you know, and now he has having a hard time putting food on the table, and the mortgage comes first and then credit card bills come last. And so, you know, at the end of that call, we were able to get him on a payment plan that did not stretch his budget much further than it already was. I think it was like an additional $10 that we added to the bill to bring him current in a matter of 60 days. Whereas had he not answered the phone, you know, it could have ballooned into something else. And had he not gotten maybe me or any Bank of America representative that knew how to have that conversation, that could have been, you know, something totally drastically different. So I take that same approach in my work now with regard to, you know, putting the customer first, their needs first, and then seeing where we can both come to an agreement to be made whole.
Yeah, that's really impactful. I mean, especially during that time that you described right after the housing bubble burst. I mean, I know watching my parents go through that, mm-hmm. they were in a similar situation, like always very proud about their credit score. And then suddenly they had to become financial budgeting experts to figure out how they can make their dollars stretch to work for everything. So that's really great that you were able to, you know, be that peace of mind for this person, because it sounds like they were able to resolve it without too life-changing if it was adding mm-hmm. like a couple extra dollars to their budget. So that was back in 2010-ish, you know. Now we're in 2024. There's customer centricity across all of the collection space is such a big focus. Sounds like Bank of America was very early adopter of that. But now with all of the different kind of technology and the self-serve in combination with the humanization of like a phone call and relationship building with a rep, especially in your area now and more of a community bank, how do you think technology is kind of helping or, you know, where it makes sense to kind of split those two when it comes to these customer centricity strategies?
I'll say that one of the few of the things that we implemented around 2021, late 2022, or within that time frame, because they all kind of rolled out at different frames, were, as you mentioned, like self-service. So when I was initially bought on to Bank of America, we had an external vendor who was doing all of our loan servicing, and it was not working out for us or our borrowers. And so we pivoted to bringing everything internally. That included the team, myself. I was able to grow up my team, as well as the technology that we used. So we bought in a loan management system that came with its own client service or client portal, where clients are able to log on their own, see what's owed, what that has been paid. I can see all the loan details. I can see the contact information for both the loan servicing department as well as my direct portfolio manager. If there are any issues that might arise that might cause me to fall delinquent, I have access to all that information on one screen, contact information, outreach information, billing information, all at my fingertips. So that was one of our implementations with regard to technology. Secondly, we also implemented as a mandate ACH authorizations. So whereas when they were with the previous vendor, they could send in payment however they felt or chose to. So when we started in 2022, each new loan that closed was required to submit an ACH authorization form. So this obviously prevented delinquencies. There's nothing for you to concern yourself with. We'll process the payment for you. You'll always be on time. You'll reduce, you know, the need to send in wires, which can cost upwards of $15 to $25, depending on the amount. You don't have to burden the accounting staff with, you know, remitting payment. We're taking care of all that for you. And so we led with the mind of convenience for the customer, as well as ensuring that our delinquency rates stayed at the historic lows that they have come to be now.
Thanks for bringing up early delinquency detection. So it sounds like there's a lot of guardrails put up to prevent people from either falling into that area. But, you know, vulnerabilities happen. People are still going to find their way sliding into that, like red flags are kind of going off that they're slipping into delinquency. Do you use any kind of data-driven strategies or real-time decisioning to help with that early delinquency detection? Or is it more so relying on that relationship-building piece and starting to identify these alarm bells with the different kinds of customers that you work with?
I would say it's more of the relational approach. So because my team is so small, I am allowed to still maintain a lot of high touch points with our borrowers, even as our portfolio has grown threefold since I've been there. So it's actually a point of pride for me to be able to still maintain those relationships. So, you know, the first point of contact is typically for a borrower to reach out to their portfolio manager. However, some of those clients just like, well, I'm going to go straight to the person who's pulling the payments. And so they'll reach out to my team and say, hey, Asia, you know, we're unable to make this payment this month. Is there something that we can do short term where I can either put my payment at the middle of the month or at the end of the month? And, you know, we'll work with them in that regard. But if we're finding that it either becomes cyclical or if it becomes where they need to push the payment out for, you know, weeks or months at a time, that's when we're looping in the portfolio manager to ensure that, you know, we need to tackle this from now to cure it so that we're not having this conversation again in 6 months. So I think it's more relational. On the larger scale, though, I would say that there are a lot of data-driven approaches with regard to certain areas of our portfolio, considering the risk appetite that we had at the time of underwriting, because certain funds we have are unsecured and those borrowers are a little less savvy when it comes to debt. And so those were the ones that were a little bit more challenging, a little bit more hand-holding is required there. But again, they come from a specific kind of industry or a specific census tract. They're doing a specific kind of service for the nonprofit industry. And so that's where the data is kind of combined with the relational approaches.
So starting from Bank of America, you know, early adoption, customer centricity, applying that to where you are now, where do you see customer centric strategies evolving as we go into this area where, you know, a lot of companies are grappling with how much to implement AI compared to different kind of, you know, human-to-human touch, whether it's putting AI in the forefront or learning how to combine it or just anything of who knows what could happen in the future. What are your thoughts on it?
I would say that since the passing of the FDCPA, that there obviously has been a pivot toward more relational, and the government prompted it, right? In some instances, the government, you know, jumps in and saves the consumer. But as far as, like, I don't see that changing, right? I feel like the approach has been working far better than it was previously when you had like third-party collection agencies just doing what they were not supposed to be doing when it came to the collection mechanisms. But I feel like the relational approach is here to stay. I do see externally, I'll say, that there is a lot of use with AI, as you mentioned, with regard to serving clients. I don't know that it is something that will take a stronghold across the industry because I feel like the relational approach just is far better than anything that can be offered by a machine, a bot, et cetera, especially when it comes to dealing with finances. It's not like going to Walmart and placing an order online and I'm going to pick it up later. This is something that is a sensitive subject to this day, with whether it's personal finances or, you know, a nonprofit such as the ones that we work with. It's just, too emotionally tied to our everyday that we would be able to alienate it with, you know, such technology.
Yeah, absolutely. I know my take on it is let AI help with the menial tasks, right? Like, mm-hmm. It can automate that and let that stuff move faster so that your team has more time to build those relationships. They're not worried about the ad hoc work. You know, let them do what the most important thing is, which is speak to the customers, especially the ones that might need a little more attention, more complicated or complex scenarios, and let them still benefit from that humanistic and relationship-focused approach.
Exactly. Yeah, we pride ourselves on, like I said at the beginning, just being able to meet the customer where they are and those needs before they find themselves, you know, further down the line. another point of pride for me is in with every customer interaction that we have, one of our KPIs is a 24-hour response time. And not everything is urgent, but for me, if I'm reaching out to someone who's responsible for the servicing of my loan, I want an answer as soon as possible. And so for me, I put myself again in the borrower's shoes. If we can get an answer in 24 hours, why would we delay? And so again, back to the relational approach that, you know, AI might give us a canned answer, but if I want something a little bit more detailed or involved or personal to my situation, I think that, you know, personal approach is always going to be number one.
Yeah, absolutely. Asia, thank you so much for joining me today. Is there anything else that you want to add before we sign off?
Nothing to add. No, I think this has been fun. I'm happy to have this time, this platform. So thank you, Christina. Thank you for your time.
Of course, yes. And thank you so much again.